everybody. Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And we're going to class up wrestling right now.
Let's do it. Oh, yeah.
Because it needs it.
So bad.
Because.
Any week when Big Show cries, or a segment like the end of Raw, where, you know, Cena is doing the Jim Carrey loser bit.
Like Ace Ventura, where Ace Ventura cuts a promo.
And don't get me wrong, I love Ace Ventura. But that was a long time ago.
Don't get me wrong, I laugh, but it was sad.
It was a very sad, sad laugh.
It's not my proudest laugh.
Fair enough. I can get behind that. But to WWE's credit, and it's something that I didn't realize until you pointed it out. No Lord Tensai.
No Lord Tensai this week.
I can't help but feel like me and you got the really, really, pardon my pun, raw end of the deal. Because we were just at a live event
the previous
week ago,
where we had Tensai in the main event.
Yeah, but they choose this week not to have him in the show at all.
Yeah, the wrestling gods look down upon us unfavorably.
Don't, pardon me for sounding like the millions of WWE fans, but what?
I mean, I take this as a good sign that they are testing the waters without him.
Or, you know, since he's been doing Laurinaitis' bidding, they don't need him in that role now that Otunga's back.
Otunga is back.
Otunga is back. He is apparently finished with the trial, and, you know, it seems like everything went well with that, and he's back.
Can I express how excited I am for Otunga?
Me too. Like, I mean, and it was I feel kind of bad because he lost a lot of momentum, but it was definitely for a good reason.
Yes.
I don't know if he's got to start back from the beginning or what, but I'm just glad he's back.
I'm glad he's back, and I'm ready to throw my support behind him, which I was not willing to do a year ago.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Think back to a year ago about our feelings towards Otunga. We hated that dude. We could not. He was the worst guy on Nexus. He was the least talented. And this is a team that had freaking,
Darren Young.
Darren Young? What was the dude that had the little thing over his mouth?
Tarvis, Tyrus, whatever his name was?
Sure. Tarver. Something
yes,
Tarver.
That's something. Yeah,
that dude.
That guy with
he's so terrible. He's so terrible. We can't even remember his freaking name. But now Otunga is like the class of the seven. Like,
yeah. I mean, I still like. I mean, Wade sure, Barrett a Wade, lot, but he's not around right now.
Right now, at this very moment, Otunga is like he's the most successful out of all of them.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, we can go back to the original eight and, you know, have Daniel Bryan. Yeah.
But
in the main Nexus run.
Yes. In the Nexus of the Nexus.
He's the one that's on the show every week.
And not
jobbing to people.
And the one that's entertaining. Like,
who would have thought? He was so terrible on the mic at NXT.
I know, right? Oh. He found his character.
He found his character, and dear Lord, did he stick to it.
I know.
I would be very interested. I don't know if they had one of those people who...
was drawing.
Yeah, thank you for recognizing my hand motions and see that I was desperately treading for water. Someone who was drawing during the court case to, you know, because cameras aren't allowed and everything. I would be so interested to look on those and try to find the coffee mug.
Try and see if coffee mug and bow tie.
Yeah.
Stayed.
Dear Lord, I hope so. I would be willing. I would be so... I mean, he wore them to the freaking Grammys.
Yes. Living the gimmick.
Living the gimmick.
Good for him.
And also, everyone, follow that dude on Twitter, because dear Lord, he makes so much fun of everyone. And it's the funniest... It gets me through my workday. I'm not kidding. That was the biggest thing I missed, because he wasn't on Twitter during the entire time. Now he's back, and he's basically responding to everyone, because apparently the whole Get Glue thing for the thing online where you type in what you're watching and you get like a imaginary sticker.
Yeah.
Last night was Otunga, and every time someone unlocked that, their Twitter account would have an automatic message, and it tagged him in his Twitter account, and he would basically respond to almost every single one of them, making fun of the person, or saying thanks, or, you know, whatever. And I just, like, that dude, he's just, he doesn't care. Like, these people just, he'll do it to anyone and everyone, and yeah. I just, like, I don't know if it's just strictly a heel thing, or is this just how he is, but dear God, I love it.
I don't know. I want to see this guy on the show more.
Yeah. I could so look. So happy he's back.
Yeah, so the big thing, and big thing in quotes, because kind of nothing happened on Raw this week, but the big thing is that Big Show got fired.
Oh, the big thing. I see what you did there. Ha.
I didn't even try. Ha. That's natural talent right there.
Would I call that talent? No, this, I don't think I would.
This segment took a long time.
It was excruciating for many reasons. One, it was very, very, very slow. And it started with a match. Like,
yeah.
I forgot all about the match halfway through it because it was just like I was in a desert of just never-ending promo.
A lot. And it was a promo of looking at each other.
Yeah, and looking at all the, you know, moisture on Cho's face, either through sweat or tears.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, that was the biggest problem is, or obviously not the biggest, but one of the biggest was that they put this match right in front to get Big Show all worked up and sweaty before we got a lot of close-ups of the gentleman.
Which isn't very becoming.
Yeah, but so it ends with he has to apologize. Who does it, and then he has to get on his knees and apologize, won't do it, but then he does it, then he gets there, and he gets fired anyway. And so he's breaking
all
down
while he's
and
crying like there's no tomorrow.
Which, you know, if he's like, please, Mr. Laurinaitis, don't send me to TNA, I would cry too. But
true. But here's the thing, like,
it was so long.
What happened to the Big Show lately? Like, I understand he is a face and everything, but within, like, the past 6 months, every time something bad happens, he just starts bawling. Like,
ever since he came back from Hall of Pain.
Yeah,
when
exactly.
He was crying about his dogs.
Exactly.
Yep.
And he cried about the AJ thing. He looked like he was crying when he won the Intercontinental Championship, and now he's crying over this. Whereas, even as a face, Big Show would have just, you know, Falcon punched him.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, oh, you're going to fire me? Well, I'm going to attack you. I mean, that's what he did with Mark Henry. And Mark Henry, you know, quote-unquote, injured him. And he came back. Bam, he went right after him. You know, crying.
I don't know. I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. I mean, Big Show, obviously, we're pretty much consensus. Not the best thing to see in the ring.
Not even close.
No.
And you're just trying to be nice.
I am trying to be nice, because
I
like,
say, screw that noise. The dude is horrible.
I like Big Show as a dude. He seems nice. And he's entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the best guys to hang out with the celebrity guest.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Do some stuff. But, yeah, serious storylines don't work for him.
Not a chance.
And especially that we are right now in the midst of Mark Henry having a good run. Like, not in the midst anymore, because they've kind of dropped the ball as
well. That well,
to do.
He went under surgery today. Actually,
he did,
too,
but
so, yeah. But yeah. Before that,
he tweeted briefly about it that under surgery, if he doesn't get a push when he's ring ready again, he'll be walking away. Because he is, you know, towards the end
really?
Of his career.
I heard that he was just, you know, if after the surgery he just can't go, he would just walk away. I thought that's what it was.
I'm not 100% sure, but I think part of the indication was that he'd like to have a nice swan song run, but
yeah,
he's not coming back to be a mid-card jobber anymore.
Right, and I mean, he's done that his entire career.
Yeah.
Almost, and this Hall of Fame thing is the first time that I've ever took him seriously. Up until then, he was just, you know, a big gimmick dude. You know, I'm strong, hooray.
Yeah.
But, you know, with the Hall of Fame thing, like, I was like, okay, I actually enjoy hearing him on the mic, seeing him in the ring, and actually bringing something to the table.
Right. So,
I would love to see that come back. Oh, yeah.
And that's coming from a guy who just, I don't like the big guys in the ring. Since WrestleMania 3, I did like that match. But that was almost just because you're supposed to like Hogan and Andre.
Yeah, I almost feel like you're obligated to. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I did like it. But yeah.
Never watched it.
You've never watched Hogan and Andre?
Because, again, like, I'm not amazed by the big guys. And, of course, he could lift Andre. He's roided up. Everyone was.
Yeah.
You know?
It's something to watch for appreciation's sake.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I know, like, at the time, no one had ever seen that happen. Especially with the big Andre.
Right.
No one's ever seen him lose like that. So,
I mean, obviously, like, if I was showing somebody, if I was like, here is the match for you to watch, it would not be that one.
No.
It'd be Hell in a Cell with Undertaker and Mankind.
Really?
That's my go-to.
A lot of people are still saying Steamboat Savage from WrestleMania 3.
Steamboat Savage is a good match, but
I mean, if you want to go like through like the eras, because that match, that Hell in a Cell match, is perfect for that era. You know, when extreme matches were just you know, all the rave. Because, you know, as we all found out, there's plenty of terrible extreme type matches. You know, like, oh, I don't know, one with Kane chasing people in a golf cart.
Yeah,
you know.
I mean, the reason I usually have to show somebody a match is because I'm defending, oh, it's fake. Nobody gets hurt. It's, you know, make pretend. And so I'm like, this is a gentleman being thrown off of a cage. That is a real cage. That is a real
table. That is a real fall.
That is a real distance.
Yes.
So that's why I go to it. But it's, I mean, it's my favorite.
Yeah, I understand.
So, I don't know if I was trying to like get somebody involved. I don't know, but that's my go-to. Look at this match is Undertaker Mankind.
I can buy a match, sure.
So, yes. Other than that, I'm tempted to say nothing happened at Raw. I mean, without looking at any kind of notes, can you even name me a match?
Brock Lesnar is suing everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I'm happy enough Paul Heyman came out, because Paul Heyman, yeah.
I'm more excited about that than I am about Brock.
Yeah, I am too. So.
And that me and you can say we saw him in person. I know we went through that whole thing last week, but we saw that dude in person.
Paul Heyman.
In the flesh.
I was so excited. That was things like going in. I was like, because the week before, like, I was like, oh, Brock's not gonna be here. I paid money.
Triple H isn't gonna be there.
Triple H
found out Cena wasn't gonna be there.
Yeah, and then I was like, done. All is forgiven. That's Paul Heyman.
Paul Heyman. Yep.
And
I mean, according to some reports, like apparently we found out Paul Heyman was there around the same time most of the roster found out Paul Heyman was there.
Yeah.
Like, they kept him in a trailer, and basically, the only people that knew was, you know, a few people at the top, and about an hour before the segment, they told CM Punk just so we can, you know, leak it on Twitter.
Right.
So people get excited. So I guess, you know, Twitter people sure found out, but we weren't looking at Twitter because we were freaking at the stadium. Because
I was looking at Paul Heyman live.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all this hullabaloo about Brock Lesnar's contract when he came back, about, you know, how often he was going to be there. So,
yeah.
I really want to know what Paul Heyman's contract is. Is he going to be there on a weekly basis, or is he coming in for stuff, or is he going to shoot vignettes to air over a certain amount of time?
Yeah, I've heard that he's basically going to be a very occasional character. And basically, they're only working things through SummerSlam at this point, and they don't really have any idea of what's happening after that.
Yeah. There is
what exactly those plans are, they don't seem exactly sure. They just know there's something going to happen at SummerSlam.
Well, there is talk. I mean, there was talk of Triple H and Brock at SummerSlam.
Yeah,
but
of course.
Now there is talk of bumping that up to No Way Out. Which seems like a
thinking about
terrible idea.
And No Way Out's the one after this,
yeah. They're putting No Way Out in June.
For some reason I was thinking Money in the Bank was next, but okay.
Money in the Bank is July.
Okay.
So that feels like a big deal match. And what it really depends on to me is whatever kicks off the summer story. Because I think we're assuming that there will be some, you know, punk shoot, NXT invasion type story somewhere in the next couple of weeks, you know, on into June, that will kick off whatever's going to push us into SummerSlam.
Yeah, I still think we're probably a couple months away from that. We're getting in that season,
yeah.
Basically.
I mean,
where basically it could be any week that something huge happened. You know, this Revolution thing might be it.
So I've heard, like, I think the most popular thing on the internet is I've heard that Revolution is going to be Dean Ambrose.
I've heard that. My own speculation on that would probably just be, WWE's already announced that basically they're going to move NXT and combine it with FCW and just have it as a stationary show. Rumor has it that the commentary team is going to be JR and William Regal. Yeah. So I have a feeling it's going to have something to do with that, to be honest with you.
I'd be okay with that. More NXT on the main stage would be kind of cool.
And including FCW people. That'll
yeah.
be fantastic.
As
long as we keep getting the Maxine and Johnny Curtis stuff.
That is the best thing that's happening in WWE right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit behind on NXT, but yeah, you're right. It's just so terribly glorious.
I read an article. I don't remember where. I wish I could credit it. So it's going to sound like I'm stealing these ideas, but
trust, he's not, everyone.
It's why NXT is the best thing on television right now. And one of the big things is that the faces aren't automatically bestest of friends, and the heels aren't automatically bestest of friends.
Of course, which, there's always, like, some gray area.
Yeah, I mean, on the TV show, or, you know, the big shows, Raw and SmackDown right now, it's, you know, oh, John Cena and Kofi Kingston, they're both faces. I bet they're best buds.
Or, like what we found out with, you know, Punk just cruising down the hallway with Alex Riley.
Yeah.
For some reason.
When's the last time Alex Riley's been on TV?
Oh, God, I can't remember.
But it's like, CM Punk is out there defending Cena and saying what a great guy he is. And, you know, their animosity towards each other was not really resolved in their feud.
Never resolved.
So there's no reason for them to like each other.
None at all.
I mean, and that's the thing, is like, I can totally accept begrudging respect between the faces, but...
Right.
Yeah, the fact that they now are best friends fighting for justice together, it's, you know...
Yeah.
It's arbitrary 1960s comic book storytelling.
True. Basically.
Yeah, it's the super best friends.
If I read more comics, I could have more talking points about that. But
I mean,
sure.
Think of the most generic, you know, cartoon buddy superhero team up.
Batman and Robin?
No.
Batman and Superman?
No, the super best friends. With the monkey and the twins, the Wonder Twins. Anything with the Wonder Twins in it.
The Wonder Twins, okay. Yeah, I don't know much about those. I've heard of them, but I don't know much about those. You would think us being friends for so long, I would know more about comics, but I really don't.
You should.
I don't read.
Do you know what Clobberentime means? Bring this back to
wrestling. Yeah, that's the big dude from Fantastic Four.
Oh, that saddens me.
What? I knew the group.
You knew the group. It's the Thing.
The Thing? Really?
That's his name, yes. Or Ben Grimm.
How starred for ideas was Stan Lee at that moment?
That was his first.
Obviously.
Everything he made was after that one. Or everything he's famous for making was after that one. He was working for several years before that, but...
Obviously.
So... Anyway, that's why I think NXT is really good storytelling, because you see these heels hating each other. And so, I like that.
Right.
Although, to be fair, I'm really digging this Sheamus and Randy Orton not getting along.
Yeah, it seemed... it was a good way to build the Fatal 4-Way idea.
Yeah.
And, I'm sure after Fatal 4-Way they'll go back to being, you know... chums.
Howls, yeah. But for now
they're enemies. Grr.
Yes. You want to move on to predictions? Because I got nothing else for Raw.
Predictions is pretty much it. Yeah.
Alright. Pre-show, Zack Ryder versus Kane.
Yeah, and I wrote a column this week, and in it, I came up with a really good metaphor for Kane lately. Whenever you're going to an event and you have friends that are coming, but they're going to be a little bit late, or they're coming a little bit later, you take hats, coats, anything you have spare, and you kind of like put them on the seats next to you to save them.
Mm-hmm.
Kane is those spare things. He just takes up a spot when you need a spot taken up for a moment in time, and then when that someone arrives, those things get put on the floor and pretty much forgotten about. That's what it was like for him and Randy Orton, because Randy Orton needed something for WrestleMania, because he didn't have anything else going on, and they needed someone for the YouTube thing, and he just happened to be attacking Zack Ryder a couple times, so they're like, sure, why not?
Kane,
but they do this so far after the fact that it really no one really cares anymore.
Kane has always been this not the Undertaker guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's never quite broken out of that into his own character.
No, I mean, yeah, his entire character's out of Undertaker folklore.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Which hinders him in the ability to get any real long-term thing that's not involving The Undertaker.
True.
With this thing with Zack Ryder, it is the last thing Zack Ryder was doing. Like, not Kane. True. Kane's moved on, had two feuds beyond this, and now coming back around, but...
Ryder hasn't done anything.
And that's the thing, is like... You know, a lot has come out of Zack Ryder, like Eve's whole heel turn, and Eve's been getting lots of screen time out of this. You know,
and a lot of heat.
Yeah. And there's talk of, you know, rounding this out, finishing it up, having Zack Ryder do stuff, but
nothing's happened.
I don't know if it's gonna happen on our pre-show. I don't know how much story progress they're gonna.
No, I mean, if there's gonna be something happening, it won't be Sunday night.
Yeah.
With that.
So, I'm predicting Kane.
Yeah, I'm predicting that too, and I think it's a matter of time before YouTube just grabs WWE by, you know, the lapels and just shakes them, be like, give us a meaningful match.
I just want this match to take up some time. Like, the last month's YouTube thing, the match was 5 minutes long in a 30-minute segment, so the other 25 minutes were just those promos we see in between matches.
Promos, it's basically what they show minutes leading up to the actual pay-per-view starting.
Right.
Just kind of take up time.
Right. So.
Okay, yeah.
If I'm going to sit down to watch a pre-show, I want to see something impressive, yeah. All right, tag team championships, Kofi and R-Truth versus Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger.
Something just says to me that Ziggler and Swagger is going to get this.
Yeah?
I don't really have anything to back it up with, but it just... No one cares about this, because there's nothing here. There's nothing between these guys, and there's... I mean, if everything made sense, this would be, you know, Kofi and Truth against Primo and Epico.
Yeah.
But they're not going to put them on a pay-per-view, so...
I'm going to go the other way and say Kofi and Truth, because I want Dolph to break away and start getting singles glory.
That's just you being hopeful, though.
I mean...
I don't care about your hopes.
What about my dreams?
I halfway care about those, just because, you know, everyone has weird dreams, and sometimes they come true, and, you know,
this stuff is freaky. This is my dream. Singles glory for Dolph. So,
fair enough.
And, I mean, what's her name? Excuse me. Thank you. Vicky can do good things for Swagger still. Get somebody else in there even and keep the tag thing going, but no, I say keep the belts where they are. Next up, Layla and Beth Phoenix. Singles match for the Divas Championship.
Punch me if I've said this before, but this would be a good time for Karma to come back. I don't understand, because I know the whole Beth Phoenix being hurt angle was, you know, created for some reason, and I yet to see that reason unless they just wanted Layla to just walk in and just grab the championship from the Bellas, when they could have just kept it on Beth Phoenix and Layla could have shown up and they challenge each other and build up a feud.
My understanding was because Karma had a little thing with the Bellas before she left, this little, you know, I hope you're still here when I get back, or whatever she said. Right. And Karma was supposed to be the surprise return, but people found out about it. And, you know, the worst thing possible for WWE is, you know, for people to have an inkling of an idea of what might happen. So it got changed to Layla there, and then the Bellas left.
They didn't do that with Brock, though. I mean, people were saying Brock was back, like, on WrestleMania.
I know.
So they knew he was there. So, I mean... Just because it's the Divas, they can do pull a little switch. Well, so does that mean Layla's been ready and they just never wanted to use her?
I still believe that Jericho was going to win the Rumble until all of the internet said Jericho's clearly going to win the Rumble. And that's why Sheamus won. But, I mean...
Or it's a convenient excuse to use when the internet's wrong. You ever think about that one?
Maybe.
Internet being wrong... You know?
Maybe, but there have been things saying that Karma was supposed to come back at Extreme
Rules. Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna say Layla wins because I think that we should save Beth and Karma for something bigger than
I'm gonna join with you on that and just say Layla gets it.
Yeah. Next is Cena and Laurinaitis.
Here's how I envision this going on, you know, in the old mind's eye thing.
Yes.
They added the two stipulations, on Monday Night Raw. One of them is that any
superstar interfering
would automatically be terminated on the spot.
Yes.
And the other one being if Laurinaitis loses, he's terminated on the spot. There's no way they're going to have Laurinaitis be terminated. So they have to come out with some sort of exit strategy for that. I say that there's basically two options, both basically using the same loophole. Brock comes out, saves him, because he did quit. So he's technically, you know, quote-unquote, not on the active roster or anything like that. Another one is a lot of rumors are going on about Batista coming back. He could do it. He, you know, left. He left from a thing against Cena. Those two can
come right back.
Pick back up. Yeah, they can pick up right where they left off, and that leaves Brock to go on against Triple H and other people or whatever. So, yeah, I feel like something like that has to happen.
I agree. I mean, more nice.
Unless you know what. Tensai could come out and save the match, and Tensai can get fired. Hooray.
That would be my ideal. That would be my dream result.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think Laurinaitis wins by some shenanigans. The thing I've heard is Big Show will save him and turn heel, which seems weird.
It seems really weird, a guy that make you cry on national television.
Yeah. But, yeah, Laurinaitis wins somehow, some way. Fallout next Monday.
Yeah.
But
of course that could all change because we're all predicting it.
Yeah. Next up, Sheamus, Jericho, Del Rio, and Randy Orton are in a fatal four-way for the World Heavyweight Championship.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Del Rio doesn't really have a chance. No chance.
No chance. That's what you got.
Yeah, I knew you'd like the reference.
Always.
Not after, you know, on SmackDown, he basically was a pinata. He was a practice dummy for everyone's finishing moves. Yeah. You know? So I'm assuming he's, you know, not going to be much in this match. Especially when you're being outclassed by your ring announcers, you know, crossbody slams, you know. Yeah. I mean, come on, those were pretty impressive. I kind of see this as the perfect kind of situation for Jericho to win.
Okay.
Because though these kind of, you know, four-way matches are the perfect things that he used throughout his entire career, just kind of like escape with the win.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he hasn't really won anything since he's been back. But he's just been a workhorse, and he's put on great matches. So I basically see this as a kind of a thank you to Chris before he has to go and join his band on this big tour that they've announced recently.
When does that tour start?
I'm not sure. I haven't really been keeping too close of a check on it. I know I should, but Fozzy's terrible. I tried to listen to him the other day, but it's really terrible. And I like metal. I like the heavy rock and all that stuff, and the prog rock and all that jazz. But and jazz.
Did you see the sign at Raw this week that said Fozzy played at my prom?
I did see that. That was a pretty good one.
Yep.
They're terrible. I don't see why. I mean, they're apparently big overseas, but
yeah. I mean, the only thing I can see stopping Chris Jericho is whenever he has to leave. Because if he wins, then he has to lose it in another match. And he probably has to, you know, lose a rematch. And then there might be a third, final, you know, put your career on the line kind of match to get him away for a little while.
Yeah.
For however long this tour is. So I'm going to pick Randy Orton. Because as long as he's the guy on SmackDown, it's been a while since he's been champion.
Yeah, I mean, my thinking is that something's going to happen in the ring to start a Randy and Chris Jericho feud. for a little bit, you know, to get Randy back in the title hunt. Sure, Sheamus can have his rematch on a SmackDown or something, but, you know, ultimately it's a Randy and Jericho thing.
Yeah, I concur. So, and finally, CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan, which had better
be... The whole
be,
reason for watching
had better
this
be the final
thing.
Match of the night. If it, Cena and Laurinaitis is the last match, I'm going to be
You know
so
it is.
Upset.
Come on. Don't be that naive, sir. You know it's John Cena and Laurinaitis is going to be the biggest thing to them.
My shining ray of hope is looking at WrestleManias where they put the title match at the end of the show, even though there were bigger matches, like the first Shawn Michaels Undertaker match didn't close the show, the Ric Flair career match didn't close the show. And so I'm thinking maybe their love for the title and their belief in the importance of the title will shine through for good this one time. So,
I mean, you can hope in one hand and puke in the other, and you can see which one gets full first. Sorry to use that terrible cliche on you. But I don't see it happening. I really don't.
We'll see. It's just... It'll be the
And I'm like you. I would love insult. That to be the closing.
Closing 45-minute match. Like, if you're going to finally give us a CM Punk-Daniel Bryan match, give us a CM Punk-Daniel Bryan match.
And, I mean, the ideal thing is this leads to a multi-pay-per-view feud. But, I mean, that might be asking for too much. So, I'm just going to be thankful that we have this right here.
Yeah. I think since Over the Limit tends to be, like, one of the lower buy rates, they're like, well, those internet people want this. Give it to them. And then they're going to be like, look at these numbers. John Cena and John Laurinaitis really bring in the numbers. We better do a multi-pay-per-view feud with them. And the world will weep. But, yeah, who do you predict?
At least the internet will.
Punk and Brian.
I'm going to say Punk.
And how do you predict AJ will interfere with this match?
By being crazy?
I mean, for Punk or for Brian?
Oh, probably for Brian. I still think she's crazy for him.
All right. Yeah, I'm going Punk too.
Yeah.
So, those are the predictions. We will see who was right and who was wrong next week. I think we only differed on two of them. So.
We'll see. Pretty much.
Yeah. So those are critical. all right. So as we come to the end, do the weekly question.
All right.
Here's my question for you.
Hold on. Let me get my question posed.
All right.
Proceed.
So, I was on Netflix the other day, and I saw the.
Are you watching Gossip Girls?
I wasn't watching Gossip Girls. I'm caught up on Gossip Girls. Thank you.
Okay.
Fair
enough. I'm still catching up.
But I noticed that Brett versus Shawn, the Greatest Rivalries DVD documentary, is on Netflix now.
Yep.
So I viewed it. It was okay.
I liked it, yeah.
I mean, I liked it. I liked the story. It was a lot of just those dudes talking.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was a lot of the appeal of it, is that we never really got that.
Oh, I know. I'm not...
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't have watched it if I'd known that, because that's what I wanted to see, but...
Right.
It's a lot of those guys talking. And to be fair... Because I didn't grow up with that rivalry, and the only thing I really know about it is the screw job, a lot of talking before that wasn't that interesting to me.
Yeah.
But my question for you is, since it's called Greatest Rivalries, you know, Brett versus Shawn, or Shawn versus Brett, whichever order it's in, they've said in interviews that they titled that way because they want to do a Greatest Rivalries series. So what other Greatest Rivalries DVDs would you be interested in, would you buy, or at least watch?
Oh, jeez. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, like, especially with, like, modern-day rivalries, because most of the long rivalries involve Cena, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
would you do a Cena one? Who would you...
If I had to do a Cena one, oh, man... Probably his early stuff with Edge.
I do. That's what I'll do. Cena and Edge.
If you want to do something a little bit more recent, maybe him and Batista, because that it was fun to watch. Now that I think about it.
Yeah.
And I know that they did a Batista and Undertaker thing for a long time.
Yeah.
Orton and Cena. Yeah, that would be a good one. Orton and Cena. I forgot all about that one. Yeah. That one basically put Orton on the map.
Yeah. I'm
as a valid heel and just someone just that people actually started to cheer for eventually.
Yeah. I'm trying to think how, you know, how that would. And to be fair, you know, if to do these right, they would wait several years until everyone was retired and then.
Right. That way they can look back on everything.
Yeah. Do a career retrospective that is, you know, about these two guys talking about each other and who work with each other so much.
This one probably might not be as interesting as far as like the relationship between the two guys, but maybe Shawn and Undertaker, mm-hmm. like their history in the late 90s, and then when he came back and he decided that his career needed to be ended by Undertaker, you know?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to look at, especially if they talk about, you know, backstage stuff and
yeah,
what influenced them to do what they did. You know, but see, the thing is, like, nothing has that.
I mean,
that kick like the Montreal Screwjob. Yeah. Like, these guys were enemies for at least a decade. You know.
I mean, that's the thing is, like, nothing instantly jumps to mind as to rival that, because right. there was, you know, in the ring rivalry and out of the ring, like, bitter hatred. And so it is, you know.
The only thing that comes close to that would probably be Matt Hardy and Edge.
Oh.
But I'm not watching anything with freaking Matt Hardy.
I have not watched the new one yet, the new You Think You Know Me DVD. But supposedly it gets real awkward there in the middle, because they do, like, fairly go into fairly extensive detail.
I need to watch that one, yeah.
And, you know, and part of the appeal of this one was that these were kind of two old guys who were, they were just, you know, they were too old to let their hatred exist anymore, and they just...
Right.
I would like a Stone Cold The Rock one.
That would be a good one, yeah.
I would actually also really like a Stone Cold Vince McMahon one, I think.
Well, they kind of did a... I don't know exactly what to call it, but it was. I think it was Austin versus McMahon. I think that was the title of it. And it just kind of looked at them. And, I mean, the two of them weren't, like, sitting in the same room or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, it kind of took a look at both characters side to side and how they played off each other and stuff like that. But, you know, they love rehashing stuff, so.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, did they do something already? Well, then clearly they're never going to touch that match again.
I mean, I think this was so far back. I think it still had a WWF thing on it.
Oh, man.
I think. I don't know.
Oh, I guess we should mention that I think 2 weeks ago now was the 10-year anniversary of WWF changing to WWE.
Oh,
May 5th,
really?
2002. So, do you remember it happening?
That was kind of in that period where I thought I was too cool for wrestling, so I really didn't watch. I can't remember exactly when I heard when the name change occurred.
Yeah.
I do remember thinking how stupid that was.
I did too. I was like, this is...
I was like, WWE? That sounds weird. That's never gonna stick.
Yeah. 10 years later, who's the fool now?
The kid with a, you know, podcast saying how cool this whole thing is.
I mean,
so awesome, guys.
It's, you know, they did a good job, you know, because I think WWE first now. You know, if somebody says WWF, it sounds weirder than if they say WWE to me.
Yeah, no, yeah, like, definitely.
And, you know, and people I run into who aren't wrestling fans still say WWE.
Yeah, I mean, every now and then I'll get a WWF, but yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, every now and then, but again, last year, Vince McMahon said WWF on Raw, so everybody slips up.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I still love the quote unquote legit news organizations that they'll try to do a story about somebody from the company and they'll end up using WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Like that happened whenever Chris Brown and the CM Punk thing. People were like, WWF wrestler CM Punk. And I'm like, really?
You
don't own a TV anywhere?
Where like, have you been?
Exactly. It's been 10 years. You should have heard something.
The thing is, if you hear about wrestling, anything you hear about wrestling, because TNA is not in the news, but, I mean,
I'm pretty sure no one in the reputable news world knows what TNA is. I would be willing to bet that.
I could believe people would know TNA just because, like, it has Hogan and Flair. And, you know, that might have been, like, a small interest piece to be like, Hogan's returning to the ring.
Okay, let me put it this way. Do you think Katie Couric knows what TNA is?
No.
Exactly.
No.
Brian Williams? No.
Yeah. I'm talking about
Larry King. Larry King might.
I'm talking about, like, the internet researcher who, like, has to type up all the stories for the teleprompter.
They don't count. I'm talking about people who are on TV.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
With the fake hair and everything.
I'm not sure what they know, what they're saying half the time.
Anyone on Fox News does not know what TNA is.
No.
Exactly.
I'm reading McFoley's...
Not saying that they're reputable or anything, but...
I'm reading McFoley's biography right now, his autobiography. The second one. The first one covers up until the I Quit match at the Rumble.
Okay.
And so this one picks up from there. But he talks about... doing news interviews and it's the basis for his tagline is the real world is faker than wrestling because he's talking about news stories manipulating the interviews with him to make it sound like he's condoning, you know, kids copying WWE wrestling and hurting themselves.
Really?
And so but it's interesting to hear because I remember those stories in, I was in like fifth grade maybe, but I remember very specifically like the stories of, you know, this kid did the Stone Cold Stunner on this kid and killed him.
Oh yeah, I remember one of them, it was a kid here in North Carolina who was like trying to do something, he tried to do something that Matt Hardy did or one of the Hardys had done and, you know, ended up killing himself or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
And it was all around that time.
Yeah.
Why were kids our age so freaking stupid?
I don't know, and...
Trust me, I did wrestling moves, but they involved, like, you know, landing on pillows and mattresses,
yeah.
And, you know.
Well, the thing
not
is...
Not really actually hitting each other that hard.
The thing is, like, I don't know when I learned that wrestling was fake, but I knew that whole time, or scripted, I knew that whole time at that age that these guys are not actually fighting. And so,
yeah.
If I was, you know,
I can't remember when I really realized that, but it was... I was in elementary school.
Yeah, if I was ever wrestling with my friends, we were not actively trying to fight or pin each other or hurt each other.
Right.
So, you know, when the stunner happened, whoever happened on went with it. And I got hurt. I'm not saying I didn't, because I didn't know what I was doing, because I was a kid and stupid. But...
Pretty much.
I wasn't fighting with the moves, so...
No, me neither.
And I never hit anybody with a light bulb or a cheese grater or anything.
Lord, no. We just stuck to actual moves.
Yeah.
You know?
And so...
We didn't do none of this, you know, tables or
and
chairs.
And that's part in the book where they're...
Mostly because I don't want to get hit in the head with a freaking chair.
Yeah. No.
Even when as a kid. No, please.
No means no.
Yes.
That's part of the book is he's talking about, since, you know, he is... Like, the hardcore legend, he's talking about people sending him videos and stuff with, you know, their backyard wrestling, and it's, you know, and he's like, You can fake a cheese grater. It's the easiest thing to fake. In the list of everything you do, the cheese grater is the bottom of fake difficulty. So, like, that's what we do. I've never cheese grated a face. You put it at a face, and somebody goes, oh, that hurt.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know.
Me neither.
I think that's it for this week.
And remember to email us any thoughts, questions, or anything, or just say hi. Our email is classyringattire@gmail.com. Remember to follow us on Twitter. Joel will be live tweeting Over the Limit. I live tweet Monday Night Raw. Follow us at CR Attire. Joel, tell them about Tumblr.
We also have a Tumblr account that is classyringattire.tumblr.com. So check it out there.
There you go.
All right. Stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.